Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I was very glad when we had our Leadership for Christ workshop, we had 19 people sign up. And what I was thinking, well, you know, Jesus only had 12. We're doing good, right? Jesus only started with 12. We're starting with 19 or so. So I want to make this one, if you missed it and you're like, yeah, I kind of need to know what's going on. I need to know what this is about. I need to keep moving the ball forward, go to another level, however you want to put it. You come in February and we'll lock you in for the rest of the workshop. So if that's in your heart, you know, don't just because you missed the one. And we have a few that came to one and then have a family thing and can't. So I'll work with you, but you have to sign up and commit to doing the workshop. So that's exciting. Jesus had 12. We have 19 or more, depending how it goes. But we're looking forward to the year in these workshops. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go into our Bibles this morning. And if you have your notes with you, I pray everyone have the bulletin. And there's a place in the bulletin where you can take notes. And so I encourage you to do that. Take notes. And I can't find my sermon, so that's not going to work, is it? Let's see if it comes up here. Maybe I left it in the back somewhere. Can you check if I left it in the prayer room, Pete? Because if I don't have a sermon, we're going to go home early. Yeah. I thought I had it. I'm checking for the third time. Maybe I left it in the back pages. Yeah, you found it? Yeah, I think they found something. Very good. Well, you're lucky. You will have to hear the sermon. Thank you so much. So if you'll turn your Bibles, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 is where we're going to start today. So as we've been going through this sermon, this series, Arise Into Your Destiny, I wrote down there in your bulletin or in your sermon notes, I wrote down the parts of this series, and we're in part 5. And I wanted to quickly just review that. The main point today is you have a destiny. It is God's unique purpose for your life. It's tailored just for you. The wise will recognize God's leading and arise into their destiny. So the title of this sermon is The Wise Will Recognize God's Leading. Are you wise? Some of you are like, I'm not sure. But the wise will recognize God's leading and what God's saying and how God's moving. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And just to the series recap so far, the first week in the new year, we talked about how to arise into our destiny. We are called into good works. All of us are called into some good work for His kingdom. Amen? All of us are called. There's not one of you in here that God doesn't have a unique purpose and plan for your life. Right? That's not a question. The only question is, are we surrendering to that call? So that was week one, and we started off the new year determined to arise into our destiny. And one of the things we need to do to arise into our destiny is to unload all the garbage. Right? Unload all the garbage, which was part two. And another thing we need to do to arise into our destiny is you can't keep looking back. You can't keep like, oh, because of this, because of that, I can't do this for the Lord. Or, you know, we read scriptures about not looking back. We need to unload the garbage and don't look back. And part four last week was about no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, no matter what situation you find yourself in, make the best of the situation that you're in. This is key. This is so important. Many of us think that God's okay with us having a pity party when things aren't going well. That is not the case. That's not what you're going to read in Scripture. God says expect the trials, right? And you'll go through them, and I'll go through them with you, He says, right? And to cast our cares upon Him. And so make the best of every situation that you're in. Well, I don't feel like it because I'm not happy. Well, you won't arise into your destiny with that heart. And that's what this series was about, is to challenge you. Unload the garbage. Don't look back. You got to make the best of the situation that you're in. The joy of the Lord needs to be your strength and who you are. And today I want to talk about the wise. the wise. The wise can recognize God's leading. And I've said this every week, almost every week, if not every week, but I want to say it again. The whole world is looking for fulfillment, peace, and joy. That's what they're looking for. Whether they're looking for it in drugs or in money, or they're looking for fulfillment, peace, and joy. But the truth is that you will never find fulfillment, peace, and joy until you surrender to God. That's the truth. For every living soul, that is the truth. You may find a temporary fulfillment, because that's what you wanted, and then that's what you got. And there's a temporary fulfillment. But the kind of fulfillment, peace, and joy that Jesus gives is eternal. Amen. It's not dependent on how things are going. It's because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's an eternal fulfillment, peace, and joy. That's it. Amen. People are looking for that. So you will not find fulfillment, peace, and joy in your life until you surrender your plans and walk in God's destiny for your life. That's so key and important. If you're wondering why you're down, or you're wondering why you can't get over this hump of being sad or depressed or anxious or just getting out of the funk in your life, it's because you're trying to find fulfillment here. It's not here. The fulfillment is not here. Like I said, there's a lot of temporary fulfillment, right? But the one that we're looking for, the eternal water, the well that just springs eternally, as Jesus said, it's not here. It's not here where you can see it with your eyes, is what I'm saying. It's only here in the name of Jesus, in faith in Jesus. That's it. So you can try all you want to ignore what I'm saying and keep trying to fulfill your own joy getting it yourself. You can try, and you're just going to fail over and over with moments of temporary joy. That takes wisdom to comprehend what I'm telling you this morning and say, I understand it. I'm going to have to surrender my own plans and give it to God. To get that, to understand that, to live that, it takes wisdom. It takes surrender. It takes humility. It takes just a person dying to Christ. But isn't that what Jesus said? If you want to follow me, you know, take up your cross. He says, if you want to live, you got to die. Right? That's so true. And once we're saved, nothing is more important than knowing God's will for your life. You know, we get saved, we get our names are written in the book of life. We accept Jesus Christ as Savior, but it doesn't end there. You will land very unfulfilled if you end it there, because there is a plan that God wants you to execute after you get saved. There's a plan. God's plan is not for you to have a road to Damascus experience and then stop. He wants you to take that experience when God saved you and changed you, and he wants you to begin working for his kingdom. Right? Paul said it this way. He says it really well, so it's easy to understand. I am a slave to Christ. That's what he said. Slave to Christ. Don't try to rush into God's will. Be wise, be still, and be willing. You know, sometimes we want to hurry up and run and help God hurry up so we can get to a certain place that we want to get to, or a certain vision that we have, and we want God to hurry up and get there. And don't rush it. It's a one day at a time. And one thing I have here to mention is when you're seeking the will of God in your life, I believe that God is a God of confirmation. Amen. He confirms things. You'll get a thought or think something in the spirit, in your heart, in your spirit, and you're like, wow, I really believe that was God giving me some direction. And don't forget those things, right? You write them down, or you And then God confirms you. And if he confirms in a way, it's like, you know, I got to go. I got to do it. I believe that God is a God of confirmation. We're going to read a little bit about that. So how to recognize God's leading. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. So number one, or first bullet point in your bulletin, God leads by his word. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, we read the verses. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Very basic concept that God will lead you by what's in this book. That's why we have to read it and understand and ask God to give us wisdom and understanding. God will never tell you to do something that's contrary to his word. And so right away we can tell if God is in this or not. Because if it contradicts with his word, then he's not in it. For example, if someone does you wrong and you say, I'm going to go and take up my revenge because it's justice. We know that that's not God leading you, because God says, vengeance is mine. Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. You see, so you already know, you come up to a situation and someone wrongs you and you want to get them back. It's not the Spirit of God telling you, go get that revenge. Because that's not in his word. His word is to let him pray for them. Let God take care of it. So we need to be led by his written word. You can be absolutely certain God will never lead you in a way that is contrary to what it says in the Bible. While this may seem obvious, it is something many people miss. Remember, God never leads contrary to his word. So it seems very simple. He'll never tell us to do something that's not here. But if we don't know what's in here, we can do things contrary to God's word. Number two, God leads by his peace. Let's turn to Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let God's peace rule in your heart. You know, God's peace is possible even in the storm. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. You know, when you're trying to make a decision, whether this is part of God's plan for your life, is this my next step? Is this okay, God? There's something that you will know. There'll be a peace. There'll be a peace about the decision. There'll be a peace. It might not be the decision you wanted, but there'll be a peace about it. That happens from time to time, and he will lead you by his peace, just by his peace. And if God does not give you a peace, it is unwise to proceed. If you don't have a peace confirmation, it is unwise to just proceed on your own. This is, like I said, the wise recognize these things. And I'm challenging you this morning to be wise. Don't lean on your own understanding, the Bible says. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. He has a way to do things, and we have to surrender to our own understanding and say, Lord, does it line up with your word? Is there a peace in my spirit? And here's a number one clue, right, that you are not hearing from the Lord directly, and you probably need to take a pause. Whenever you have to make a major decision and you didn't once pray about it, it's a pretty good bet there's an issue there. And sometimes we know it and we purposely won't pray about it. Right? You know, some of you know what I'm talking about, right? We purposely won't pray about it because we know God's going to put a stop on this and I'm going to be convicted. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to pray. This sounds right, looks right, husband, wife, or family, right? This is right. It all feels right. But you just never took it to the Lord in prayer because you were afraid that he was going to put a stop to it. If you're not praying about it, reading the word, then you're on your own. And you don't want to be in that situation. And the wise will never take major decisions without taking it to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says everything to the Lord in prayer. Everything. Everything. So before you make decisions about your next step in your Christian walk or major decisions in your life, it should be better be soaked up in prayer. Amen? And then you go, and is there a peace? After you pray, after you seek God, is there a peace about this decision? Is there a peace about what I'm supposed to be doing for God? And that's how you know. But the wise recognize that and recognize that God's leading through peace. And the wise recognize that God leads through his word. And the wise also recognize that God leads by desire. God inspired, and Philippians, let's go to Philippians 2:13. When I read this scripture here, I had never read it this way. And then I read it this way, and I got a new revelation on this scripture. For it is God which worketh in you both to will. That got me there. That was like, wow. It is God which worketh in you both to will. God works in you for you to will things, to desire things. Amen? When you surrender to him and you're like, okay, Lord, that's not what I wanted, but I surrender, he will give you that will and that passion to answer his call, to answer his plan, to arise to his destiny in you. And when I read that, I was like, yeah, that is so true. God worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So as you spend more time in God, as you spend more time in his spirit and his presence and in opportunities in church to be in his presence and to be at the altar, the more and more that you soak yourself into that, the more that your will line up with his will. It's an amazing thing. It is true. It is true. The only thing we got to get straight in our hearts and our minds is, are we okay with that? Are we okay with our will being changed to his will? The truth is, some of us are not okay with it. But the wise who want to be fulfilled, have joy, and have peace will get it. You know what? I surrender to it. I surrender to it. Lord, change my desires, my wills, and make them yours. The wise get that. And then the wise find the full fulfillment, joy, and peace that everyone is longing for. Right? It takes wisdom to say, okay, I understand that God will change the desires of my heart. I understand he'll change my will. He'll change it because it says in his word that he will. Am I willing? Will the wise recognize it? So the wise recognize that his word leads, being in prayer and being at peace in everything that we do. That's how he leads. And then he also leads by changing the desires, the will of our hearts into his will. In Acts chapter 7, verse 23, let's read that. Another bit of insight to him leading by changing our will and our desire. Acts 7, verse 23. And when he was full 40, so this is recapping Moses. When Moses, this is the New Testament, recapping Moses and his story. And in Acts 7:23, and when he was fully 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So remember the story of Moses. He grew up in the Pharaoh's house. And Moses, for 40 years, was living the life. Right? He never worried about food or he was living the life. But God had a destiny and a plan for him. And it was time for him to arise into his destiny. So what happened at age 40, according to the scripture? All of a sudden, for 40 years, he was just doing his own thing. All of a sudden, at 40 years, a desire and a will that he never had before entered into his heart. And he says, I need to go see my brethren. Right? Since he was adopted, so to speak. And he did. And the rest is history, right? Moses, 10 plagues out of Egypt, Red Sea, water from the rock, manna. It's a lot of destiny. But we have the same. God has the same. You may think, well, mine's not going to be as grand. Grand is relative. When you get to heaven, what the world sees as grand, God will see as different. And the little things we do here, maybe we lead someone to Christ and nobody knows, or we say an encouraging word to somebody and we don't even know it changed their life because we encouraged them, or all these little miracles are just as grand compared to whatever Moses did. Because when you are used by God to bring forth life where there was death, it will be celebrated in heaven. And you will be grand, right? So you may be saying, well, that's Moses arose to his, that was all. No, each and every one of us have a destiny to arise to that's grand, that's a masterpiece, that's bringing what seems dead to life. It's just in your own world. It's in your own situation. It's in your own family or your own sphere of influence, right? But it's all grand. It's all for his kingdom. So this is a great example how God leads by desire. It says in that scripture that now when Moses was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. In all the years before that time, Moses was never once had the desire to go to see the children of Israel. However, when God wanted him to go, he went. And he placed this desire in his heart. You know, you may be in a situation where you've been fighting this calling, this desire, but until we really surrender to it, there'll be no peace. So that's my encouragement for you today. The wise understand he's going to change the desires of your heart. Just go on the journey. This is a key concept. We must trust God. God will give you the desires and passion to arise into your destiny. And very last, and the most obvious, because it's in Scripture and we know, we say it, we repeat it a lot. God leads by inner witness, by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:16, the Word of God says, I'm going to ask Michelle to come. We're going to get ready for communion as well as we close. In Romans 8:16, the Word of God said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. When you get saved, God awakens your spirit that assures you you belong to Him. The Holy Spirit doesn't stop there, just telling you, right? You belong to God, right? When we got saved, we just knew that we knew that we knew. I'm on a different path now. Amen? And who witnessed, who confirmed that to you? The Spirit of God. You can't see it, you just knew it. And in John 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 16, verse 13 through 14, we read these verses. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify the name of Jesus. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So it is clear in Scripture that the Spirit leads you into all truth, and he leads you into this calling. So in closing and wrapping this up today, I hope you took some notes, right? I know somebody told me last week, you want to see my notes? I have some, because they wrote some down, right? Because I threatened you that I was going to look at all your notes on the way out the door. One day and see, how many notes did you take? But to wrap this up, this is the word for us today. In order to arise into our destiny, we got to be wise. We got to be wise and recognize that he's going to speak through his word, that he's going to speak through prayer and peace in that. He's going to speak through changing the desires of your heart by being in his presence. And he's going to speak to us by an inner voice, a Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that was dead but now lives. And that's how he speaks to us. And the wise know this, and they live their lives like this. So I want to challenge you and encourage you, as you go home today and you pray and you begin this week and you pray this week, have this mindset of being wise. Taking these points, your word tells me, your spirit guides me, you give me a peace about it, you change the desires of my heart, and you speak to me, Holy Spirit. Just be wise and pray that way. Lord, I want to answer the call you have for me. I want to rise into my destiny in you. And that's what the word is today. I want to encourage you. Be wise. Go and think of it differently, because he speaks to you. I wanted to say one last statement. Go ahead, Michelle. We can start playing. But one, if God has never changed a desire of your heart, you haven't been following him. You haven't been really seeking. You've been asking God to follow your desires. It's true. If you've just been going through your Christian life and you had these set ways and you're still there, you're stubborn. Is that too hard? Well, it is the truth. So okay. You're being stubborn. What I've learned about walking with the Lord, and I've seen it in my life and I've seen it in so many other Christians' lives, is that he will change the passions and desires of your heart. The more and more you're with him, the more and more you want to please him, and the more and more your plans go out the window and his plans take over. It takes wisdom to grasp this, and I believe that God's preparing us in 2020 to be wise, to arise into our destiny, and to do it with passion. I ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. You don't have to stand or look up or anything. I just want to make a statement. And if you're in your heart saying, yeah, that's me, I want to commit to that, then just settle it in your own heart with God. Tell God, yes, I want to commit to that. It's just between you and the Lord. It's not anything anybody else needs to see publicly. But if you're here today and you heard this message and something turned on, a switch turned on in your heart, that you've just been going through the motions and hoping that God just follows you along and answers your prayer, and you've been going through that, but today you've realized, wait, I need to stop that, and I need to say, Lord, what is your motion? If you just felt in your heart, yeah, I need to stop just going this way and start saying, Lord, I really want your will to be accomplished in my life, whatever that means. I really want that. It's time. It's time to be wise. It's time to recognize his leading. Bible says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But I believe the Lord is asking us to grow up and give up childish things in the Lord and surrender our own plans. You know, like a baby will say, mine, mine, mine. But as we grow old and become a parent, it's not about me. It's about the child, it's about the family, it's about others. So if that's you and you want to just take that step in your heart, this statement, if this statement is true for you, then just settle in your heart. Say, God, this is for me. I commit to this. So if you are the person that is ready to be wise, if you are the person ready to be wise, it's time. It's time to admit it to God, to admit it to yourself. I kind of been foolish. It's time for me to be wise. And if that's you, then in your own heart, you say that statement. It is time for me to be wise. Take a few moments. Just settle that in your own heart. Thank you, Jesus. Time for us to be wise. It's time for us to be led by your Spirit. It's time for us to be wise. Heavenly Father, you know, you see the hearts of every person in this room. You hear our voices. You know our hearts. We want to arise into our destiny. We want to be wise. We want our desires to be changed, to line up to your desires. As Moses did at age 40. You changed his heart. We've chosen this morning to be wise. Lord, seal that in our hearts. Bless us as we go out these walls and just seal it. Seal it in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.